Jim Bronner. Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards. Sarah Kleinfelter. Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Joy Staples.
Here.
Carl Pride.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Okay, that's good to hear. You want to go ahead and explain the meeting procedures?
Here it is. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Chairman or the Commission. If you do not accept the decision of this Commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the Commission. Your proposal will be heard next month. Your proposal will be heard and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or the persons with information requested by the Commission. After your case has been heard, you may leave, and I will remind everyone that next month is a work session for this board, and so concepts that are heard tonight will not be heard as public hearing until the month of March.
Have you already informed?
Everybody that signed up should know that, yes, sir.
All right, very good. Okay, it looks like first thing we need to do is talk about the December minutes. Take a look at those and get approval from the board. I do see one thing that we might need to change on, unless I'm looking at this wrong, the December 21st minutes on the approval of the Briarwood on Lake Taneycomo. It says the vote to approve was 3 in favor and 2 against, with the chairman voting to break the tie. I'm not very good at math, but I'm pretty sure that it would have been 3 in favor and 3 against. To be tied.
It depends on who those were.
So. Yeah, Taney County math, you never know. So I do see that change that needs to be made.
We were here, 5 people were here.
One, two, three, four.
It must have been 2 and 2, huh?
It must have been 2 and 2, actually. Sorry. 2 in favor and 2 against.
Let me see who was here. That was the December meeting.
December 21st, myself, Joey, Ray, and Frank.
Yeah,
so right, here. That is correct. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there were 5 people here.
Okay.
So it would have been 2 and 2.
Well, that's the only thing I saw that needed to be changed. I'll make
a motion to approve with changes.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor to approve the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. First item on the agenda is the final vote for Air Park. I guess that's what we're going to stand on, Perfect Landing Air Park or whatever it is. So the Air Park, so.
The plats I'm getting, it is listed as Perfect Air Park.
Okay.
So that's where we'll stand. There was a bit of stuff to be done last week.
Okay.
I have placed in your hands a copy of a document. You asked to see where all of the platted properties, sold properties were out there as in comparison to what the different phases were and how that would bring everything into compliance. If you'll see, phase one originally was the minor sub that we permitted. There are 5 platted lots in there. Phase two, which is actually what I have is final plat of phase one before me. It takes care of 11 of the sold lots, and as you read down through there, it's kind of self-explanatory, leaving down to 2 of the lots not being done until the very end there. So that is that. I talked with the Corps of Engineers. We were asked about that. Corps of Engineers said they would adhere to whatever regulations that we had. I told them we allowed roads and fences and things like that to go right to the edge of the easement where the property line started, and they said we're okay with that, however do not ever come to us and ask us to chop down any trees or to alter our piece of property in any way to accommodate you, because we will not do that.
Okay.
So, but they were okay with, you know, with that coming up to the edge of the property.
Okay.
Let's see. And under old new business, I'll tell you about the bylaws. We had some questions about bylaws, but we won't
Okay. Bother
everybody up here with that.
We can get into that later. So that was all of your all the things we asked
right,
of you for the airport.
Miss Warner has tonight gave us a, and I haven't got time to look at this or anything like that. But I guess this is for the owners, and I would have to verify this. In talking with County Attorney today, Bob Paulson, he said we will have to have the agreement from each and every property owner as you would get ready to plat a section, you know, with any changes, because they bought on a certain plan, and that they would have to be in agreement with whatever's going on now if that original plan is changing in any way.
Okay.
So we are adding a couple more lots and some things like that. So I do have, and you're welcome to look at this if you like, but this is a list that she just gave us, and I will have to go back and verify that so I can.
Ms. Warner, would you mind coming on up to the, I'm sure there's going to be some questions. I know I've got some.
Sure.
So let me, again, real quick, unless you got something you need to ask her right now, I was going to run you through a slide.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. Sorry about that. Go ahead, and we'll run through this real quick, and then we'll have you. So if you just have a seat for a minute or stand there, whatever.
Again, this was the original tracts of land, how they came to us.
Okay.
This was the original concept plan, right? 142 residential lots, 24 commercial lots, for a total of 166. Go ahead, David. The new request is 153 residential lots, 23 commercial lots, for a total of 176. Go ahead to the next one. This is how the assessor has the properties that have been transferred through warranty deed or whatever the case might be. But this is the different plats they show tracts of land out there, which is what you have on your, go ahead, on your overlay.
I want to stop you right there for a second, because you say something that I'm going to bring up anyway, so I might as well bring it up now. If this is approved, you understand that there won't be any more transferring of warranty deeds, because that's kind of what got us in the
stages. Yep.
Okay. I mean, that's something that
right.
I just want to make sure is clear on record.
In the next plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that way that we're trying to fix that so this doesn't happen again. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, before you go ahead, let me, of course, this was the road to be going in for the minor sub and everything, and this road is completed down to here. This
okay.
part of the road has not yet been completed, and if you choose to approve this project, and I'm going to give you this big plat here in just a second, Mr. Pendleton, they have elected to widen this road here, which changes these lots again somewhat and everything, and what they're going to do is keep this grass runway here, and then the road will actually follow this line here quite a bit closer and everything like that. The plat that I have, there's some more things that Ms. Warner's working on the plat, but I will need the road easement. Right now, the final plat I have just says grass runway. It doesn't mention anything about the road easement. On the final plat, I would like that to say
sure.
Road easement and everything. So in approval of this, you are allowing somewhat of a replat on this minor sub that you approved a month or so ago.
Now, when we approved that minor sub, though, when we looked at it, there was a road platted there, a road easement.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir. On the minor sub, this is platted as a there's a 50-foot
well,
road easement.
Well, I would think that it would have to match what we've already approved on that overlay. Because that's already been approved.
Right. She may have to go back and vacate it all out. But she's actually going to widen this, is what I'm saying.
It
okay.
matches. We just widen it.
She's going to widen this to
okay.
70 feet, and so the road.
So the lot amount of lots aren't going to change,
no,
and they'll
no,
still
no,
be in compliance.
No, she
it
may,
might just shift a little
yeah, she
bit.
She may come down and plat
okay.
these a little longer down in here. I don't remember exactly what. They have to stay at a certain size acreage and something like that. I just want you to be aware that in phase one, the plat we have will change this minor sub a little bit from what it was.
As long as it doesn't change the lot numbers
no,
or and those sizes
lot
are in compliance,
like
that's fine.
That. It's basically just a widening of the road, and then she probably platted a little more land down here behind these to keep those lots the same size.
Okay.
Because in doing so, it probably got into that.
Right.
Okay, then. Go ahead and do the next one. And then, of course, these are the other lots that are sold, just a little better close up down, you know, below the runway and everything like that. And again, those are on your track there. Okay, Dan, let's move on. What I wanted you to see in this was, of course, these are the different phases that she's choosing to do, and that's basically the map that I overlaid, you know, so that you can see. And so what we're going to be doing, this would be, on this, it's phase one here. On the plat I've got, it's listed as final plat of phase one, and so she's including all of this area here as phase one. Don't have a problem with that. It just absorbs that minor sub into phase one is what happens. Everything. So, and again, you can see here's a little bit of the change and a little change in some of the lots and everything like that. So, and that's I'm wanting to make you aware of that from this standpoint. In approving what you have before you, it will include the okay to do this. And in other words, we won't bring this minor sub back before you again.
Right.
And everything. So, this road didn't get any smaller or anything like that. They actually made it. It's going to make it wider. And everything like that, and I believe you've already discussed that with Randy, if I'm not mistaken, and he was okay. There was a question about if they're going to have to be a ditch on both sides of the road. Randy said sometimes that if the topography is okay, that you can drain everything to one side. You know, that'll go on from there. So, okay, Dan, let's go again. Of course, this is the overlay that I've given you.
And if we could go back one, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
In phase three, we talked about accessibility to the far left there?
Yes, sir. And the plat that she's got has given to me does address that some. I got some questions and this is not going to be the plat that I end up with. There's already center back. Ms. Warner did come in and give this to me last Friday. And she was going to go down and file a lot of papers to actually plat some roads and everything. And I suggested to her that instead of doing that, she go ahead and redo this final plat. One of the road easements that she was going to plat, or she was going to plat all the road easements, but she was going to plat this road easement down through here. And the reason being is these are 2 5-acre tracts here, but right now they have no frontage and everything. Well, what our code book states is if they're above 5 acres, all they have to do is have the road platted in. This road is not necessary for any of this property along through here. But if she goes ahead and plats it in, our plat then would encompass the road on, up through here. These lots are legal. She wouldn't have to bond that part of the road or anything like that to make that happen. It's there. You know, she would have to put that road in as soon as she gets ready to do this part of the subdivision. Everything, but the road would be platted in already instead of her just having a lot of different documents and road platted everywhere. I suggest to her that she wait till she's actually opening up that phase and needs to put that road in before she plats it and try to plat it with that. You'll notice also we were concerned about this lot, this being landlocked. There is a little road easement that goes in here. And of course, the plat that I'm going to give you is quite a bit different than what you see up there right now. And we're talking right here. Yeah, this and so that and that's a road that she realizes she would need to bond or have it in before we can sign up on the plat. And then she's planted in some taxiway easements.
And these were 2 acres before, so even though this cul-de-sac's in here, they're well over 8,000 square feet.
I don't think they were 2 acres.
They weren't.
That's the thing I've got to verify.
According to this, they were. According to this.
Lot 61?
Yeah. 2.25, 2.01, 2.0.
Well, that may be. I didn't think they were. I thought what I was reading, they were smaller than that. It may be.
So, I get, in other words, you'll confirm to make sure that
they're on the right size. I haven't had the time to do all of that yet. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff on these plats and everything.
You guys want to see this?
To try and join. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought 61, 62, and 65 on this were like 0.5 acres is what they were.
Is that what they were sold as? Because I know some of those are sold.
I don't. These were sold in a little bit of a different configuration than what you see up there. These two were sold as one. This was sold as one. That's one. And then this one. it wasn't exactly like they're split up on.
Okay. Well, just as a comment, and correct me if I'm wrong, the lot 61 and 62 or whatever's in that top corner, those, now that that cul-de-sac is plotted in there, they'll have to meet, you know, minimum size standards.
Yeah. Right, and I don't know if he did that, if he took out the amount of road.
Right.
You know, they're also, they're in a situation now where they've got to have sewer, but this is a later phase.
Right. I knew they'd already have to have sewer there now. I just didn't want it to get to where we've got the road in, but now they're not in compliance because the lots aren't big.
Right. And that's what I haven't had time to verify.
That's the community area down there, so they don't need to be 2 acre tracts.
They don't have to be 2 acre tracts, but
they have to be a minimum of 8,000.
To be a lot, they have to meet a minimum size, yes.
8,000 square feet.
Right.
And they'll need that.
Okay.
Do you have the big map, Dan?
Well, that's the one that.
No, the one that has the colors that shows, you know, this is equestrian, this is.
No, that's the one that jumped.
Okay, that's one jumped. On the map that you have there, gentlemen, I believe that one does it. Yes, at the top there, you see kind of a tan area.
Mm-hmm.
The tan area is their equestrian part. The middle part of that being, the rest of it being air park. And then the yellow on that being the commercial lots, where she was wanting to put commercial lots. So you'll see at the end of the runway there by Brass Lantern Road, Sean, where your hand is, that would be yellow there.
Right.
Back at, if you go to where the minor sub is, up in the back there where their house is currently, that would be some more commercial. That's the difference in those colors. And then the little inset down there is the different phases and everything. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that.
Okay.
So
the color coding on top is the different types of, and then the color coding on bottom is phases.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So let's see. On this final plat, and this is how it came to us from the architect, but, you know, and we can blow up some areas if you like. I had a few issues. Like you say, I wasn't sure how the lots platted out, and you can see from this right here, this lot 62 may not be usable for anything.
Yeah, there's not a lot there.
And we don't, you know, if the lot's not usable, we're not going to plat it as a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so they may need to do some reconfiguration there. I wanted you to notice that there's some easements platted here. These are taxiway easements and everything. And they do cut through here, and I wanted to make sure that Ms. Warner was aware. Wherever there's an easement like that, no structure can be on that easement. Not to say that these lots are not usable, and you know, you can still, these are 2 acre lots, if I'm not mistaken, or bigger, and there is room to build, but these people cannot build anything here, and that's going to be your call as to whether you allow fences or anything there. I don't know what you'd want to do. I am concerned that our plat shows this is how they would like to reconfigure Brass Lantern Road. Right now, this is existing Brass Lantern Road, and this has not been vacated, and the process has not been started, as far as I know. I'm real hesitant to sign a plat, even though it's not the area that we're platting, that would show this overlapping that road and this being reconfigured like that. When I get a plat, I like it to be platted like it is. You know, this is what it is. So.
There's some work to do.
There's a few issues, and other than just, you know, drawing in some of these roads and things like that too, that we're going to need to straighten out. And I think what I'm going to do is go ahead and visit with Miss Warner's surveyor to make sure that he's aware of what we're doing and everything, and that he's up on our rules and regulations and why we're looking at things the way we look at them and what we want to see on a plat. So. I do think I want to take the time to go ahead and do that.
You did hear him say or read the thing from the Corps, or you may be aware of that already.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
No trees or anything can be cut on that. But they can at least, you can go up against the property, which that helps as far as not having to shift things to the north.
Yeah, that grass runway has been there 40 years.
Right, what about the road to run? What about the road that comes down along the runway?
This one
well,
here?
I just want to make sure they still said it was okay.
Is that the one that comes out along the road runway?
Well, I'll tell you this. This will be the road that supplies frontage to all these lots here. She does have a taxiway easement across the top of these properties. Now, if they choose to drive on that, I can't stop them, but she has not platted that as a road easement. That is not going to be the road access for these properties. That is on the runway there, and that is, you know, surely something that, the planes could drive on and everything, and because this is going to be the area where the hangars would be and the fixed-based operations in, this area here.
But if they were to hard surface that runway, they still would have to build that road before folks can come in and pull.
Before we'll approve the this phase,
right,
of it, that road will have to exist.
Will have to be built
bonded.
Because that's where the road is shown.
Right.
Okay.
All of these properties here will have a 911 address that reflects the name of this road right here.
Okay.
Now, the permit was approved through Road and Bridge to have this work, and the road curved down there, if you remember, Frank.
This here?
Yeah.
And there's a pointer up there for you too, Ms. Warner, on that.
Curved to, it came down and we had approval that it curved this way. Remember, it had a sharp elbow in it.
Right. We talked about making some changes there for your development, but I think we talked about what the process would be and the procedure, and mm-hmm. at the point in time that we came to do that, then mm-hmm. there would be that procedural thing to go through.
Right.
And I said, if I didn't see there would be a problem.
Right. And then we added this piece, which took out the elbow, which made it a little... It scooped it instead of making it a sharp turn and coming
down. That's not what I recall as first seeing, but
there's been no change on this yet.
Right.
Is that correct? I didn't think there had. I just want to be sure. So, let me see what else we've got here. Yeah, let's go ahead and of course these are just blow ups of that, and this is kind of hard to see the way he sent it to us. But and your last one, Dan. Last week we did not see our video, so what I'd like to do, if you don't... Go ahead, Sean, you've got a question.
No, I was looking at 32. It actually looks like he changed the configuration of that a little bit to where it goes down. Okay.
Where's 32?
Go up right there.
Okay.
Before it was tight, it didn't go to the road, and now it has road.
Well, if you'll notice, too, Brass Lantern Road is a substandard road, so they have platted along here the additional 10 feet they needed to give. To bring that road up to standard on that side. If this all takes place and the road's moved, it's a moot point, but until that does, we're really probably going to have another 10 feet on that side. If this is vacated, it all goes back to them anyway, and this becomes the 50-foot road.
But that will then take 30 and 31 will not have road frontage if that road is vacated. Until they build that new road. 32 will.
Correct.
But 30 and 31 won't.
Right.
Until you build the new road.
Right.
Okay.
So
the new road to the north. Well.
To the west.
We're going to have to be careful because there's a lot of stuff going on here, that's what I'm saying, and there's so much to
I know.
To
approve,
I just want to make it clear that while we may approve this in concept, as these things pop up, they're going to have to be dealt with. I don't want anybody to come back and saying, we approve this.
That's why I'm bringing that up now, though. So it's
and there'll be things like that you catch.
Put your pointer up there again. Go to the north. Right, those two right there.
Right.
That road to the north of them until that road is built. Not that one. North. That road right there is the only way into those two lots now. Not 32.
Well, right now they have access on Brass.
But they won't when that road is vacated.
If it's vacated, you're right. They won't. So we would not be able to.
That's the last thing.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be able to vacate this road until that's built, or. I suppose what they could do, since this is vacated and it's in their property, they can come down here and they can put a cul-de-sac in.
Okay.
And then they still have all this road to use.
Right.
So something like that could be done,
just
too.
Thinking of ways that... Okay.
But anyway, what I wanted to do is go ahead and take you for a ride on the property real quick. It was snowy, so it looks pretty and everything. And you can't really, but I wanted you to just to see what we're seeing. Because you see all this stuff all the time, and you have pictures of how this is all chopped up and everything like that. But that's not it, Dan. It's out in Cedar Creek.
You just ask me. All polo, go slow, Ray.
So what we're going to do is just kind of drive you down and show you some of the work that's been done and things like that. So. And Sean wanted to show this because they thought they had this problem fixed, and then something happened, and he wanted to see how this played tonight, too. So it's not playing any different. This is out front of on Brass Lantern Road, and in front of the property at the gate there that used to go into Mr. Grinley's at the Someday Ranch, right here to our right as we come around. And of course, this is where the runway comes down through here, and I'm going to take you up there for just a little bit up there.
So this is the portion of Brass Lantern currently that the runway is across if it doesn't get back.
Right. Okay. And then right to our right there was where they put the new road in. We're going to come out on that, but I'll show you. So what I'm going to do is take you down the old gravel driveway that you saw, and as we get down further down, we're going to go over here and try to give you a little bit of look at what's been cleared down through there for a runway. I was by myself. The snow was melting, and it's a little bumpy out there. So I think this will be good for you to see, just so you can kind of see some of the progress that's been made out there.
And you're all invited to come in.
It didn't take them. I had to go back. I had to do that on Friday. So this going up, of course, this area here being where the runway's going to come through. I'm guessing that pole's probably not going to stay there. But we're going to turn and give you a look down through there just a little ways. And it gets better here when I get back out on the road, but just hang with me there. But this is the area that's been cleared. And of course, there's some leveling that has to be done and still. And I'm going to try and get up here a little ways and see if you can see a little further down in the property there. There it was. Now back out on the gravel road that was the original driveway. We're going to run you down here to where the new road and this road merge together, so that you can kind of see, where we're at and what's going on. And over here, of course, is the new road that's coming in.
Now we're getting pretty close to the minor sub we already approved.
When we get down to the end here and I stop, looking straight forward from where I stop is the area of the minor sub.
Okay.
That's where that road makes the turn and heads down there toward the lots and everything. And then I'm going to take you back out, which will be the new part of the road that she's cut in. Of course, there's a part of this road that still has not been finished as of yet to that minor sub. So I'll show you that here in just a second. We're going to round this corner here. Oh, yeah, that was over there. I got stuck. Okay, this is the grass runway. This is where their home down in this area here. They're going to come around, and this is the new road that was cut in. Come on around, up on the Brass Lantern. But this is where they're widening that easement down, and this would be the road that goes down to the minor sub, and the minor sub starts one of the lots right in this area here. And then, of course, on the other side over here also. As we come back around, this is going to be the juncture where these two roads come together on your plat there. You'll see that road comes down and kind of jogs, pretty hard to the left. And this is the new road that she's put in. Now, this part of the road is finished. It's got its gravel coat on it. It's been looked at by Randy and everybody, and it's finished. From where we turn to go onto this road back down to the end of the minor sub, there's no gravel or anything like that. And as you can see, even last week, there was still snow on the ground out there. But we're going to do is just follow this back up. It's going to bring you back out by the gate there where we went in by the gravel driveway. And then, of course, this being the gravel driveway over here that takes back through the gate, and this being Brass Lantern Road. Okay. Let's see. What else do I need to tell you real quick? I have talked to Bob Paulson today. He wasn't able to be here. He had another meeting scheduled at the same time as this meeting. But I did want you to be aware as a board. First of all, as I've already mentioned, approval of this project is allowing the replat of that minor sub. It will not come back before you. I wanted some clearer definitions of the roads indicated on the final plat, especially in this area here that's running beside the runway there. I've talked to a couple of you, and I know we didn't ever want to give them misconception that we have approved a road to act as a runway. We felt there was liability there, so we'll try to make sure that that stays clear. talk to you about, you know, they're phasing that and everything like that. And then in speaking with Mr. Paulson, he indicated due to the size and the scope of this project that we take an approach as we did with Branson Creek, where in concept the whole thing was approved, and as they opened up each new phase, they came back to let you know what was going on, and then you gave the approval to go ahead and open that phase and move forward from there. Also,
I want to stop you right there for just a second. Well, actually, go ahead, because you're going to talk about the commercial area.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
Also, out there, we had approved hotels, motels, convenience stores, all kind of stuff. But every one of those comes back. We did not designate commercial lots until there was a use on that lot.
Which is our normal practice.
Which is our normal practice.
Some people say we'd like this to be commercial, but until when they decide what's going to go there, they come back for us and we make a decision on whether that will fit there.
In my discussion with Mr. Paulson, he did think that before we allowed anything else to happen, that the minor sub-road should be completely finished, you know, before we move on any further.
That makes sense to me.
And I wanted Ms. Warner to make sure that she was aware of that in these additional phases on the minor sub, the way it was laid out, not necessary that she plat all the utilities to those properties and everything, because it was easy to drop from the power line down to those properties. However, as we get into these other phases and everything, electricity will be part of the infrastructure to that. So either the installation of the electricity will need to be there, or it'll be part of the bond that we would have to have in order to sign off on flat. And that's on everything that's, you know, 2 acres and above. And of course, when it drops below 2 acres, you know that's when the sewer has to come in, and she's still in the process of getting an engineered system that DNR can approve. So that's a little ways out yet. We mentioned there's no structures allowed on platted easements of any kind. If it's a taxiway easement or you know, road easement or sewer easement or well easement or whatever the case might be, platted lots are when we plat a lot, it has to be a usable lot that can be built on. Otherwise, we need to plat it as green space, or we need to attach it to another lot. We can't, you know, we're not gonna because if we plat a lot, somebody will buy it. That's what we found out. We did the same thing over off of Coon Creek Road with all the easements that came through there with the electricity, mm-hmm. and they had a bunch of lots in here, and we had them join it to other lots or plat it as green space. We made clear that while we're approving basically on a preliminary plat concept idea, we will not see all the problems that arise and things like that. And our, as these arise, we're not trying to picket things or do anything like that. But as those arise, we will have to deal with those in the manner set forth in our code book, whether it be my code book or Road and Bridges code book as far as standards for their roads and everything like that. And approval of this project on a preliminary plat would not constitute approval of other issues that may exist, is what I basically said, and that there's no right to transfer property until approved final plat has been filed and recorded. And then lastly, that everything, even if we'd just renewed this, our code book states that whatever the current standards are in place at that particular time, that's what you adhere to. So if Ms. Warner needs to come back in a year and renew it again, and my guess is she'll need to do that, that if your road standards are changed or we've had changes in our code book, she must then come up to those standards for whatever's left to build. She doesn't have to do it retroactive to what's been built, but whatever's about to be built would have to meet those particular standards.
In other words, whatever phases came before us, right, we've already approved. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
One of the things I want to go back to, are you... That
yes, sir. Okay. I think I am.
Is on a couple other developments, what we've done is we've approved the whole development as a concept, and then as they've came in as phases, they've came back and said, this is what we want to do in phase three, phase four, whatever, and then within this approved concept, and we've taken a look at that and said, you know, yes, no, whatever the decision would be, but without any drastic changes, it's been pretty simple. I mean, we've already approved the concept. What that's helped them do is they've not had to get all their infrastructure in right up front. That's one of the things you're looking at. So I think that would be to your advantage for us to look at it that way?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that, because we really didn't talk about that last week of much.
That was an understanding.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Whatever the decision might be, Eddie, I'd like to have this that you gave us in the record so she can get a copy of that.
Okay.
And, you know, it's in there, and we're all on the same page, so to speak. Okay? Any other questions from the commission? We got a lot of stuff.
I do too. Had your original permit not expired, we may or may not be here today because there were other issues at hand. Has the stop work order been lifted?
No, sir. The stop work order has not been lifted. That would be lifted. I mean, you can instruct me to do that whenever you would see fit to do that. I personally have to have an approved plan, which we would have here if you approve this, that shows me how everything's going to come into compliance before I can lift that. And so if you approve this plan, I would be in a position where I can lift that if you would so choose.
Okay.
If you have a reason you want it to stay, that would be your call also.
I'm thinking along the lines that Sean is talking about, and the reason they phase construction projects is for multi-phased, many different reasons, therefore. When we looked at this 2 years ago, we came into concept, and it's a very large project. It's really neat sounding, and I hope it all goes well for you. But between now and looking back 2 years, this has been a boondoggle from the very beginning for us and for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the county and your party, as the developer, we need to communicate on a regular basis and do so on good terms and not let this get to where it was before. And I think the only way we can do that is to conceptually approve this as the large project as we did before, but nowhere near let it go out of the phasing, and that is do phase one and finish phase one, do phase two and finish phase two, as in other places in Branson or Taney County are happening.
And when you say finish, you mean get all the utilities and roads and that kind of stuff, and not necessarily built out.
Built and sold out, no, not necessarily.
I just wanted to...
Right, okay.
You're citing more any lot and there's a ready to be used.
Right, any lot would be ready to use. Okay.
And I think if we do that, communicate on a regular basis, and phase this, I'd be more comfortable. The word final plat to me is almost a joke at this point in time, because every time we see one of these, it's different than the last final plat we saw before, so the word final doesn't mean anything on this project to me. So I really, really want to make strong that what all this stuff you're showing us is conceptual,
mm-hmm.
and as we move, I would only recommend to move forward if we go strictly adhere to the phase-by-phase issues and continue to try to work together and not have the feelings of animosity or the county is out to do this or you, the developer, is out to do this. We have a situation here that it's in the best interest of both parties to make this successful, not only for you and for the county and for the people that have already purchased properties in here, but for the whole county in general, too. So I really would like to see this move forward, but we really need to work together to make it happen.
Sound good to you?
Very good to me.
So obviously only the phases that are filed, platted and filed,
as
are the only ones that can be sold.
Yes.
No lots can be sold outside of that. Okay. Any other questions? Comments?
No.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion, something to the effect that I stated before, that I approve this renewal. Is that what we're doing?
No, this is a different project. We're approving more lots.
Okay.
I would
make a motion to approve the, what are we calling it this time?
Cedar Creek Air Park.
Okay.
In a phased concept, phases 1 through 4, or 1 through 6 that we're looking at right now, with each phase being completed prior to the next one being started on. And anyone would like to add anything to that, I'm open to that. There's really a lot. There's so much here to talk about. And
I'd like to be sure that we add the commercial property. Anything has to come back to us before any approval.
I agree, which is normal for all procedural developments that we would do in Taney County. And I know you've made yourself much more aware of what is in our book. So that was a real sloppy motion. Sorry about that.
It's just a hard. Okay. This is a big project. It's a hard thing to.
It is.
Whenever you're ready, Benina, maybe you could read that back to us.
Oh boy!
I know we don't have a second yet, but at least we can.
I'm not finished.
Okay, I thought you might not be.
Okay, I'm going to add to this motion what Eddie presented.
Good.
I won't go ahead and read through all that.
Okay.
But what I have so far is that Mr. Preston made the motion to approve, based upon the decision of record, that the project be in a phased concept and that any commercial phase shall be presented before that approval is given.
Each phase will have to come back before the commission.
And the commercial also.
As well as the commercial.
And only after infrastructure is put in for the prior approved phase.
Something like that? Is that about what you said? Sounds like a motion.
Sounds like one of mine.
It will be cleaned up lovely.
Wordsmith the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need a lengthy motion on the floor?
Make sure that there's no. I guess it has to be done just like it said.
Hmm. Okay, never mind. What was your concern? Is it something we can add into the decision
no,
record?
Because if she'd changed and wanted to come back and put a condo in or something like that, she'd have to come back before she.
Yeah. So let me look for a second and I'll ask for some more discussion. Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll take a second.
Okay.
Under discussion, in doing this, what we found too, like at Branson Creek, they decided that they had the possibility of several hotels, and now they didn't need all those hotels. And they came back, and as they opened up a phase, they said, "What instead of doing this, we would like to put in multifamily units or something like that," which leaves you that option to come back and request that kind of a change. Whether they would approve that or whether you'd ever want that, I don't know. So in any changes to the basic layout that's there, other than she may resize if she adds lots, right. Got to come back before you. If she makes less lots, that's okay.
Yeah, and less density.
Otherwise, we make sure that all the roads that are platted correctly, they're identified as what they are. You know, those kind of things like that. But any changes that would, if she were to put multifamily in there, she needs to come back. You know, so. So there's a lot of things that would bring her back, other than the fact that she decides now I'm just going to have 6 lots out there total and no more. She can do that, you know. So she can always do less, but any changes that would increase density in any way would require.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Everybody understand what the motion is? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Already got
you
it.
You already got a second.
Yeah. But thank you. Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. All
right. Okay. Thank you. We'll yell at you tomorrow.
All right. That's all we've got for final votes, isn't it?
That is it.
I'm going to do a little bit of a change up on the concepts. We're going to move, and I don't know how to say the last name, but I'm going to try it, or what the name is, Wacob Outdoor Building. So if you'd like to come on up, sir. If you don't mind, state your name.
I'm Robert Walker.
Okay.
You did a good job on my last name.
Okay, well.
Real quick, if I can, Mr. Walker lives down off of T-30?
T-Highway
in
the Ladybug
area. Yeah, in the Ladybug area. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. He is purchasing some lots down there, owns one or two, but he's purchasing a couple lots, and he's going to build his residence there on those lots. He also wants to have a home business there. It'd be a home occupation. It does qualify when the total structure is built. What he's going to build first, though, is the area where he hopes to put his home business. So I wanted you to know this is coming before you as a special use permit, home occupation, and it will qualify when the whole structure is built for that, as there is a limitation for the amount of space that can be used in a home occupation. I believe 30% or 33%, something like that. So this is going to be a home. It's going to be built in two different parts. So I wanted you to be aware of that. And then, and what Mr. Wacob does is he creates frozen treats. I'll let him go from there.
Okay. Could you describe what you do a little bit more?
Sure. I mix water with sugar and snow cone flavoring, and I put it in an FDA-approved polytube, and then I electronically seal the top of that, freeze them, and ship them out to convenience stores such as Branson First Stop, Teeny Como Mart, Gold Creek Mart, Save-A-Lot Store in Forsyth. Handled them for part of the last of the summer. The second version is I put them in a 5-ounce souffle cup, put a lid on there, freeze those, and I take them over to the Recplex. Last year I had a contract with Recplex. This year I have a renewed contract with them. They're very popular, very tasty. Kids love them. They not only have a good taste like the fruit, they also smell like the fruit, also like strawberry and cherry. And I've traditionally made these in my home wherever I've lived, from South Dakota to St. Louis to Miriam Woods. And this year I've moved, so I'm going through the process to try to gain approval to make them out of my home. And
no customers to your house? You deliver?
No, it's strictly delivery. And I don't do that.
And you understand with the special use permit that you couldn't sell the business and it remained there?
Yeah, we've had our pre-application conference, and he knows it's particular to him and to that site, and if either one of those changes, it goes away.
Okay.
That prevents no problem.
Okay.
What's the name of your product?
They're called Snow Pops. Snow cone flavor and a push-up pop. There is a website. You can take a look at them. My printer is malfunctioning. The colors are kind of stripy, and I didn't want to give you a bad thing, but there's originalsmarketing.ws, and you can take a look at the two different versions on that website.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have lots and lots of detail about the products used, the methods of production, neighborhood presence not affected, amount of water and power used, and all that. If you'd like for me to leave that with somebody,
leave that with Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Unless I tell my neighbors, there's really not much that they know that's going on. It doesn't make any noise. There's no dust or grease involved. It's a very low risk product, and the Hartford Insurance Company that sells me my product liability recognize that by giving me a lower premium, so I like that too.
Mr. Wacob, you were also operating, was it Merriam Woods, or was it he was operating in Merriam Woods out of his home there?
And I went through a similar process there with the town meeting, and they allowed me to do that. I got permission from the landowner to conduct business from my home, and the first phase of my building is about halfway finished. I've got a combined bathroom, laundry, and then a dedicated room, which, if the proposal is accepted, I'll be doing my production in that dedicated room.
And
that,
you just deliver these in a small refrigerator? I mean, it's not a big truck.
Yeah, I'll have some freezers for on-site freezing.
All right.
And I figured out today it's about 11% of the total home structure that will be used for the snow pop production.
I believe he uses a van to deliver.
A van or something like that. So just basically something you'd
When you're delivering your product.
He's
not wanting to see a big semi truck out in your driveway. Well, I guess that's where we're.
Actually, I can put all my product in a couple of coolers in the back seat when I'm delivering to the convenience stores. But when I go to Recplex, I can either use a home van or I use milk crates because they hold a certain number. It's easy to tell how many I'm delivering. I think there's 64 per milk crate.
Okay.
And three or four of those at a time. The biggest delivery I one time delivered was 300 and some last summer.
Very good. Any other questions? All right, and you understand that we won't be meeting
Right. We don't meet again until March.
It's okay. In March. I've got the...
Yeah, we'll be meeting, but we've got stuff we're working
March
on.
March 15th, I believe it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Samples required for next meeting.
Cherry. I prefer cherry.
He said samples required for next meeting.
Oh, I would love to.
I think that was a joke.
You can get them out.
Get us all hyped up on sugar. We don't need that.
I would like to ask, is it okay? I've got to make a connection and get my kids home.
Yes, you're free.
You're done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
We'll move back up now to Bee Creek Storage.
This is Bee Creek Storage. Mr. Padgett has a piece of property that it's 2 acres. There is a house on it at the present time. It's out off of Bee Creek Road where the sewer does go through now. And there we go. Let me find this one, Dan.
Yeah.
Do you have a blow up of that?
Yeah.
Let me see that. As you can see, there's a driveway that goes in here. What he'd like to do is, in this area, he'd like to put 3 mini storage buildings. This, I ask about this because this appears to have been a plat of some sort, although it's not platted that way. But this was the drawing he originally brought into this. It gives you an impression there's 2 lots here. Mm-hmm. It is not split into 2 lots. Go back one, Dan. This is how it's configured right now. The county shows it at 1.69 acres. The sewer system is through there, so whether it has 2 acres or not is not an issue, with the exception that, as we spoke, this house has not or was not yet connected to the sewer system.
Which it would have to be done.
Yes, sir, it would have to be done, and that was explained to Mr. Padgett. There'll be a different size entrance required and everything like that. I'm sure that Road and Bridge will have some standards as far as site and what can be done there, and they'll have to be looked at. But he's asking to put 3 small mini storage buildings in there. He'll give you the number of units. I think it was a total of 45 or something like that. And of course, it would have to meet the other standards as far as access around the buildings and setbacks, things like that. I did also mention to Mr. Padgett that because this would be a commercial operation here, I don't know if you want the property split off, you want to leave it as one piece or not, but at the very least, you would probably want buffering because that is a residential track adjoining this.
Well, there's certainly residential tracks to the south.
It's here and there is too. So all that has been discussed, and get the representative up and let you ask them what you want to ask them.
Okay, representative here for...
Don't tell me I went through all this for nothing.
No. Is nobody here for Bee Creek Storage?
Is anybody here for Pajama Mama? Okay, hang on just a minute.
Okay.
Let's try it again.
I was doing some counting. I thought we had everybody here.
I thought we did too.
Okay.
Pajama Mama
was practice.
Is a request for a bed and breakfast. It is a special use permit under our Division 3 process, and we do have a section set up specifically for bed and breakfast, and we have discussed the necessity of the proprietor to be an owner living on site to run a bed and breakfast. We don't care whether they serve meals or not, of course, and the maximum of 4 rooms and the different requirements that might need to check with the fire district to see if they need outside entrances, different things like that. So we've gone through a lot of this, but this is the property. This is up near Dulas and everything. It's an existing home there, and you got a blow up of that, Dan. And what they're actually wanting to do is rent out. They do have exactly 4 rooms that they want to rent out, anything like that. And we're pretty well on bed and breakfast. And they do understand it is special use. It is particular to them and to the site. If any one of those things would change, the special use does go away at any time that they're found to be non-compliant. The special use permits can be revoked administratively and then have to be reinstated only by this board. So if you're ready for Pajama Mama.
You got plenty of parking.
Pardon?
Parking.
They've got room for parking. We have discussed that a little bit. Where they're going to put that exactly, we haven't got into that much. They do have a pretty long driveway there. We'd have to go out and look and see. I believe our code book requires one parking space for each room plus two or three for the house itself. So you'd be looking at probably about six to seven, maybe eight spaces total.
Okay.
And everything that they would have to make accommodations for. If they don't play tennis, you know, maybe that is a tennis court, I'm guessing. On the
that's a pool.
Oh, well, you don't want to park in that.
Tennis courts. I guess they could sneak over there to do lots of
free, fill it up.
We'd love that.
With grass. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what it is, and we'll let them come up and let you ask whatever questions you'd like to ask them.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. You want to give us your name?
Delisa DeLay, and Mark's the husband.
Okay.
She's not in pajamas.
No, she's not.
it's pajama mama.
I'm sorry.
Pajama mama.
I'm not.
He thought that was a tennis court. You got to get him.
That's a workout idea.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what you want to tell us, and then we'll ask you some questions.
Well, I think it's the perfect home for a B&B. I put a little letter together because after I met with Ed, I wanted to make sure that I showed I was listening to what his concerns were and what you guys might be thinking about, too. So I put it together. But it just looks like a bed and breakfast. It looks like something out of Martha Stewart's books, and it's really designed well for that application. It's about a 5,000-square-foot home. It has exactly five bedrooms and a finished attic space upstairs. It has a big game room, has a large kitchen and dining, and a nice big screened-in porch and a nice front porch. It just lends itself to a casual, relaxing stay. My husband's an expert chef, so I think he'll hopefully appeal to their sense of taste and smell and
so we can get supper and...
You know, I'm in real estate. I've been selling real estate in the Branson area for 10 years. I've been in love with this home. I could definitely see the application from day one. And just right time, right economy for me right now, I guess. And so I see a lot of my out-of-state guests actually staying here, to be honest with you. I see it as a very relaxing place. I'm not looking to have a party place. It's more of just sit around the pool, read a book, you know, demure lighting, maybe rocking chairs on the front porch, and Adirondack chairs around the pool, and, you know, kind of a Martha Stewart-type venue, perhaps. And anyway, that's kind of the concept. Fresh-baked cookies.
Do you have room now for six or seven parking spaces?
Well, we've been... experimenting with that. And as we've been moving in and, you know, kind of having friends come over and help us move and unpack. And the driveway from the road to the sidewalk is double wide. And you can actually put three pretty decent sites, like a minivan and a pickup truck and a mid-sized car. You can park three. And you still have room on the other side of those three to get by if you park them down at the end of the driveway, which is kind of right beyond the garage a little bit.
There's a corner there, man.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. I guess that would help. How do you use it, though?
Just push that red button.
Oh, okay. Easier. So, okay, so from here, this is double, actually. And then it goes on down, and then there's another place to park two cars at the end. So you could actually put five guest cars. And then there's room for two cars in the garage. And then you could still actually put probably one or two along there. So I figured eight cars, including the two in the garage, we could get.
Of course, we have parking standards as far as widths and everything like that. And it might need to be marked off and everything. And that's something we'll deal with her, you know, as we get into this a little further, if you approve the concept and everything. So
I haven't measured it.
But she has, in most of what we talked to her, she has addressed in this letter, so.
I'm sure there's other questions.
Does this any fire code requirements?
We did send her to see Jim Single to see what had to happen there, And Jim did have a few things that she mentions in her letter here that Fire Department Jim Single has advised us on a few minor items, and we'll implement them as well, most major being the installation of ladders to reach the second floor and as the way of fire escapes. I was under the impression that when she first visited with us that she might have to have outside fire exits. Jim says in this situation, an emergency fire ladder that can be let down to escape the building is sufficient. So those would have to be put in place. I don't believe he's going to require any kind of fire suppression in the way of sprinkling or anything.
Right. He said no sprinkler system was required at four bedrooms and under. But I do have tons of smoke alarms and that type of thing in the home already.
When you mention the type of clientele that will be staying there, it sounds really nice. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder, are you screening the people that are going to be staying there?
Well, I've had a lot of friends who have ran bed and breakfast, and Mark and I have stayed at several as well. As we travel, we like to do that. And I've learned that most bed and breakfast clientele book way in advance. They're not your last-minute people who pop into town. So there is a little bit of screening, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just kind of a normal process because you're inviting people into your home. So obviously, there is some screening. But I just think that our style will appeal to an older adult. I think perhaps some of the parents that bring their kids to Kanakuk, you know, will probably maybe want to stay there, bringing them and taking them back. I don't really see our facility appealing to children. It's not quite that type of an environment. I'm not going to have playground equipment. I'm not going to have activities for children. So I guess if you mean screening in that way, I just think the appeal to the demographics and the way I'm going to market it. And to be honest with you, selling real estate in Branson for the past 10 years, most of my clientele come from California, Minnesota, Iowa, Texas. And the first thing they always say is, where can we stay? And, of course, I always give them several recommendations because I've actually worked in the hotel business for several years, including Big Cedar Lodge. And I took care of which my husband has done in the past, too, taking care of the telecommunications for the hotel. So I know a lot of the proprietors of the hotels by name and know them personally. And I don't really feel like I'm trying to compete with that market. And I think even probably some of my clientele will not want to stay in a B&B. You know, they're going to want to bring their kids and additional family. So, but there are several that will want to stay there.
This is on county sewer.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure that y'all are aware of that. Midnight pool parties.
I don't envision that because I pretty much can't stay awake past 10. But I'm not saying there will never be a cookout, and I'm never saying the neighborhood might not come over for a cookout. I mean, I think that's every property owner's rights to have a party from now and then, but I'm not planning every weekend parties and that type of thing. I mean, that's still not really the agenda that we have. That's not what we're looking for. And we're not really looking to do outside catered events or anything like that. There's several B&Bs in town, Hummingbird Hills, and there's a few others. Is it Bear Creek, I think?
Bear Creek Bed.
The Yates Own. They kind of cater to weddings and honeymoons. But that's not really our focus. I'm not saying from time to time it might happen, but that's not the market I'm going after.
We have also discussed with Ms. DeLay, there's specifically mentioned about eight different things as far as pollution would be concerned, noise, dust, light, everything like that, that exceeds the property limits is a concern to the county, and continued complaints in that would be grounds for administrative revoke of the permit. So, and she has addressed that in here also, so it's not a surprise. She realizes that it is a neighborhood, and this is not a frat house or anything like that.
I know a lot of those neighbors, so if I want to stay in business in my real estate career, I think I probably better behave myself. So,
I've got a couple questions. I noticed that the water's on a semi-private well. Is that with another resident?
Yeah, the next door, Shane and Shane and Karen Grady, yeah.
So have you talked to them? Do they understand that there might be...
Not yet. I wanted to talk to you guys first, and then I'm going to talk to them. But I think my part has to be metered anyway for the sewer department. Are you worried about the well or the water pressure?
I'm just I just want to make sure, you know, if you're sharing a well with a residence, then this is a little different situation as far as water usage. Obviously, if you've got 8 guests in right. there, then I'd say it's a little bit different. Yeah. So,
Yeah, and I appreciate your concern, and I am thinking about that. And I'm sure, I mean, Shane and I have been friends, and we've done business for a long time together on deals. And we both look at those things in that detailed of a sense, selling real estate like we do. But I really think if a large family bought that home and they had 5 teenage children or children of all ages, and those children had friends and family members visiting, I don't know that the impact would be that much difference on the water usage.
Yeah, and I'm not so concerned about the water level as much as I am. Just since it is a shared well, I'd like to hear from Shane, not necessarily in person, but
okay.
that you all have spoken.
Yeah, I haven't said anything yet because this is all so new. So.
Well, just something that before we sure. can make a decision.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Be, you know, yeah, if there's a maintenance agreement there, he could feel like maybe it's time to renegotiate that.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, there could be
some
issues there.
That's true, yeah.
And the other thing, I don't think, if I remember right, there's a fence around that property now. It doesn't look like. I mean, there's a lot of screening, landscaping screening, you know, native trees and that type of thing.
Right.
Do you have any plans to – sometimes when we – now, this is a special use. I know it's not
a
commercial.
It is Division 3, and with special use, you have the right to request.
And I'm not necessarily thinking that because there is a lot of landscaping, but my question comes down to this. How do you plan on – keeping neighbors out or keeping guests in, either one?
Well, that's a fair question. And now the pool does have a fence, so they can't access the pool area for safety and privacy reasons. And there is a lot of natural landscaping barriers with the trees the way they are. But, you know, being right next door to Doulos Ministries, I got to say I'm so impressed because the amount of traffic that brings right by my front door. How great all those kids are, you know, they walk by, they wave, they play with my golden retriever. You know, I don't see an infringement, at least not from the neighbors. And we're on a dead-end cul-de-sac, sort of, so I don't really see that neighborhood. I mean, I'm happy to look into a fence if you guys deem it necessary, but I haven't seen that trespassing situation at this point.
I just kind of wanted to hear what you had to say about that. In the past, not always, especially when you've got this much landscape barrier, you know, we've looked at one or the other. And really, in this case, it might be more of an issue of if there's a concern with people, not
right.
so much the view,
right.
but people
right.
moving in and out of
right.
that. And, if
and
that's
sometimes your guests will decide to go for a walk.
Yeah, sometimes your guests may decide to go for a walk.
And,
or
and I know you have
I see.
Doulos has a facility there that I don't know they would just care for people to walk on. I don't know. That's a neighbor situation.
So that may be a concern to some of the commissioners.
Well, and I can certainly address that in the handouts I give the guests, you know, when they come in. But, I mean, our goal eventually is to make some nice gardens so that we would keep them within the gardens of the property on the back, you know, some English gardens and some flower gardens and some pathways. I mean, it'll all be progressive, obviously, but... Yeah, I don't know that. I probably, to be honest with you, wouldn't recommend that anybody that's not familiar with our area just to go walking on those streets because those streets are pretty curvy and narrow anyway. And I know I've been trying to walk my dog, and I'm like, I got to find a new route. But it's not really a good place to walk right there, honestly.
Canicuc's Chapel's down this
right.
area somewhere,
a little
too.
Farther to the side.
Yeah,
side
yeah.
And everything. So people that do like to walk will tend to wander into places like that. So, you know, it is something she may need to address. I don't know that they would.
I guess the main reason I bring that up is that may come up.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of the commission, anybody else wants to address a fence tonight. But we have looked at that in the past when we've got something like this in an established residential neighborhood.
Well, I truly think that my clientele will be middle-aged plus. I think the majority of them, that's what will be there. And I don't think that my demographic of clients will impinge on other people's properties. However, who roams over to mine,
yeah.
you know, we're really going to be there. I mean, Mark will be there most of the day.
And I used to live in Cougar Trails, and I agree with you that kids that go through there are outstanding, and
yeah.
It's generally not an issue at all. It is something that I wanted to at least bring up. I don't know if you had any other questions about that specific thing, or if that's a concern.
We can look at that. It really would be that north side.
Yeah.
Butts right up by the driveway.
Which is next to the
cedars, kind of. But
yeah.
That would be the.
Well, and if you guys would want more of a barrier there, I would love to make like maybe a hedge or do something natural, you know. Or
and that's a possibility. I mean, it doesn't it doesn't always have to be fencing if landscaping barrier is acceptable to the commission.
That'd be great if that could happen that way.
Eddie, does this require the 600-foot diameter notification?
Yes.
Okay. Have you done any of that yet?
No, we won't do that till after and we send that out.
Okay. Did you know that was a requirement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And the way you describe it is peaceful and serenity and nice. And
I hope so.
There's things in other places where bed and breakfast sometimes have to go away or a nightly rental has to go away because there's three ski nautiques in front of the house and the clientele is much younger and they're there for a spring break type atmosphere. And this neighborhood won't lend itself to that. So you're probably well aware of that in the business that you're in. And
we raised three teenage girls, and they're all out of the home. And not that we don't love our girls, but, you know, we're ready for that new stage in life. So.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
You're looking at all the parking staying down the drive. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, and probably eventually, of course, I know once they come out and measure the drive and make sure we meet this demand, we would like to maybe put a little circle at the in our yard, a little circle, make it a little bigger circle. But, again, that'll be progressive. And we probably, to be honest with you, won't open up with four bedrooms right off the bat because, you know, you have to stage and decorate each one and get it just so. And so, you know, we may open with two and gradually add the third and eventually the fourth. You know, it's a progressive thing, and hopefully we'll do it right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then your last one comes with a story. This is
figured as much.
Coming for you is Branson Bank. Off of 265 near the sanctuary, which is. Yes, this purple is the sanctuary property there, I think.
And that's City Hollister, isn't it?
The sanctuary, right. Yes. About two and a half years ago, I stopped by this property, and there was a little garage that looked like it was being built to me. When I got down there, it looked like it was a little bit older than that. Put a sign on the garage saying no permits posted, and waited, didn't get anything. So I went out a second time and put the sign on there. Finally got a phone call, and as I did that, got the assurance that the little garage that was being built there, or it was more of a remodel type situation going on. As time progressed, these people began to build another building, but at the time we thought that property had been annexed into the city of Hollister, because they annexed the sanctuary and some other properties around there. As it turns out, it was not, and these people actually built a building without a permit. Actually turned that little garage into an office area and some things like that, thinking it was under the jurisdiction of Hollister. And with the change of personnel that we passed, stuff like that, it didn't get chased. But then it became the possession of the bank. What they've done is, as the bank has got this and gone back in, they realized that there have been no permits for this. This has never received a Division III to be used as a commercial area. This was a place that sold stone and stuff out of there, and we ran a business for a while out of there. But they never put in any kind of sewer or anything there either. So the whole facility is just kind of serviced with a porta potty right at the moment, which of course we wouldn't allow that to happen. But the bank then began to see about what was acceptable for a septic system, and then it trickled back up through the sewer department back to ours, and it came to the realization there's been no building permits issued for this and no approval for any kind of a business to exist on that property. So now that the bank has it, they're trying to get everything in place correctly, and so that's why it's before you now. I believe in your packet you'll see a couple of pictures and everything, but this was the garage here. When I first saw it, this was all open, and there was no stone on it and everything. There was a riding lawnmower and a few other implements like that in there. And then this is the other building that's been built, and it has a scratch coat on the outside like they were going to put the stone on it, but it doesn't have the stone on it yet. And of course, the when I was out there the other day, the porta potty is sitting right here. So just doesn't meet any kind of codes at all to actually be in business at this particular time and everything. But that's the history of this property, and now the bank has it and it's trying to get everything done correctly. So I'll let them, they have a representative here tonight, and let them come up and see it.
Well, I know it's not Dean.
No.
My name's Terry Dugan with Branson Bank. And I'm going to pass you guys a few more pictures so you can kind of really get a better feel of exactly what it looks like, where it's sitting, those kind of things. Also with that, I met and another lady from the bank. We met with the senior traffic division head of MoDOT on the ingress egress of the off the highway. And that actually has been released, but there was a couple things that weren't done on there. We have agreed to go ahead and do that, even though it has been released. That is put 4-inch asphalt.
Okay.
And he said at this point in time that has not been an issue. And it really isn't going forward, but in our contract when we get ready to sell it, that will be part of, that will be have to be completed before that's consummated. So.
Okay.
So you've addressed the permitted driveway issue. Is site hazards, is it not a problem there?
No, no site hazard. Here is actually the permit that's been released with all the information.
And can I have this then? We'll make a copy, and if you need it back, we'll get it back to you.
So, and actually, one of those pictures, he's in there. So.
Any drainage problems that you've noticed on the property?
On
the street? Yeah.
No, the street actually, where we put the whistle that we put through there is like 60 feet long, so it was about 10 or 15 feet longer than what we actually needed in there. So that's not been a problem. And the crest that was at the entrance where they required us to put has been cut down where it's grade. He was perfectly fine with that. The concern that I had was is whether the packed gravel that we had was adequate there to keep the compromise in the highway, and he was perfectly fine with that. There's about a... I think if you look at the road, there's probably about a 6 or 7 foot apron before you actually get to the road. That's the.
This property falls away very sharply too from the road.
And the road is actually that we put down there is actually we didn't put it down there. The individual that had built that had built it. It's in a kind of an S shape.
Yeah, when they first started, it was, and then when you pull in there, you put on your brakes, you just go ahead and slide to the bottom. So they kind of
we've hauled in a lot of gravel and. It's compacted. It's very wide, and you could drive a semi down through there now. So,
this is right next to one of those cell towers that we approved?
Yes,
not
exactly.
Too far from it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's on the other side of it? A house?
There's a little house, yeah, a little cabin.
Occupied, as far as you know?
As far as I yeah, as far as...
There's a... up there, right
the
here.
Residence right there.
Right here, there's residence, yes, sir.
Okay. How much timber is left on that side?
Yeah. Well, I'm not thinking
the timber,
much.
There's some timber right here, between here and this house, and then there's timber down here, and then the structure sits 100 by 50, sits about right in here, and then that little garage sits about right
And, of course,
there.
We'll have video and pictures for
which that garage was originally there. That was the structure. It hadn't been changed as far as the square footage of it. It's just been enhanced by they put the stone in the metal roof.
And that's why we didn't pursue
Well, and one of the things I'm thinking, Terry, and you would know this, but one of the things that we generally look at, because you're asking for this to be commercial, for us to approve this as commercial. Generally speaking, when we've had commercial right abutted against residential, we've either had landscape, some type of landscaping buffer, which we just talked about this a little bit with the bed and breakfast. If it's sufficient, then that's been fine. Mm-hmm. And if not, we've generally had it some kind of privacy fence requested for where, the matter of fact, that's been pretty consistent
well,
on what we've done. And I know what you guys are trying to do here and just get it up enough so you can move on. I hate that.
Right.
So, but I'm, you know, so that's why I'm curious as to how much, you know, if there's enough landscaping buffer on that side.
I don't know if one of those pictures actually.
You know, then you may not have to do anything if there's enough timber over there.
We'll look at that when we're out and filming and everything.
Okay. So, hopefully enough. You know, there's enough there that would take care of that for you.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility we may ask for fencing on part of it. And there's been a few cases where we haven't asked for that, you know, if the topography is. But generally speaking, we have asked for some type of buffer.
Our code book requires a 30-foot buffer, and sometimes it can be landscape or sometimes it can be a fence. And we've put the fence there, and it's called it sufficient. We've also had them move the fence 30 feet off and then put the fence in.
Right.
We've done a lot of different things, but we have to look at the site. We haven't really examined it closely yet.
So. Okay. So you'll let us know if there's sufficient.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know what it is already. And see if you're okay with them moving on forward, and then we'll get all the particulars for next.
Any other questions?
What's the actual request?
The request is to get... Well, originally the request would be, I guess, to zone it commercial,
right,
and give us a permit for occupancy.
For what's already there.
What's already there, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Conformance. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I mean, there was a business operating out of it, and they're just wanting the opportunity to sell it. Now, before he could get the certificate of conformance, of course, you're aware, or somebody's going to have to put a septic system in or something, because there is no
right.
Well, that was another issue that was brought before me, was that they stated that they're actually supposed to be a sewer system put in there fairly soon, and so I didn't know
Hollister was working on a sewer system that would come down and tie into the sanctuary, which is part of why they annexed that, if I wasn't mistaken. And now where that stands, I don't have an idea. Yeah. But
I would bet that's a few.
Well, I talked to William Cummings, and he's on that, and he knew a lot about that. And he's the one that actually brought it up to me before I even came.
But before it's physically built,
right,
it's probably
going
to be a while.
Right, and then it also came up when Jim and the guy from MoDOT, they all knew that was supposed to be there, too.
If the sewer system is within a certain amount of months, and I'm thinking 6 months, it may be 12, and they know it's going to be completed where they can tie into it at that time, the sewer district does have the right to allow holding tanks to be pumped for a short duration. They cannot allow it for years.
So that might be an option.
Well, and that was kind of...
I don't know if it would be that quick.
Yeah, I didn't want to really push that.
That
was the reason why we actually found out. We were trying to get estimates on a septic system and a well. And that's kind of how we worked backwards into this and found out that it wasn't permitted. And so we were going through those procedures trying to get that part addressed, so when we did get ready to sell it, whether we did it ourselves or the new owners did it, we had that, you know, covered. So,
okay.
Eddie, you might want to check with someone in sewer and see where what the status of that project is, or timeline, time frame.
And I only ask this because I'm certain Sarah's going to ask. Probably, and it may be in here, some type of simple layout of what exists there on that lot, like an over where the road sits and where the buildings sit.
Okay.
You know, I don't necessarily think
just
you need to go...
Just a site diagram.
A site diagram. I don't know if you need to go have anything professionally drawn up.
Okay. But, I mean, would you be okay if we just... if we just, like, did something like this and had it drawn in, or do you want to...
Do you think that would suffice for... Because she generally asked that, and she'll be here next time.
Yeah, she's going to want to know... And we'll take some measurements, too, while we're out there. But she's going to want to know how close that building sits to other things. You know, if it's more than 20 feet... That's sufficient for her. She just wants to make sure that it doesn't start crowding.
And it's
in the middle of the property, and it's not going to crowd it.
So, you know, I'm just trying to think ahead for that, since she's not here tonight. I know she would ask that question.
From that existing house.
It's probably the building sits right in this area. It is a long way from the house.
Good. Good. You know, I just...
Yeah, we'll get that information for you.
It's all down here.
It is.
Yeah, the building sits, the big building sits about right in there.
Okay. Generally speaking, the chairperson, she generally likes to ask that question.
She'll
want to see some type of site diagram.
But we can yell at you about that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get Bill to fly by and do the aerial.
That'd be good.
Don't offer.
Just have him drop it off at my house.
There you go.
Just my neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we've got. So
thank you.
We'll be out and start doing what we do. We'll be in touch with you on this.
We're going to get our own.
Okay.
We have
a video, that's right.
Thank you.
Okay, we have...
That's all the concepts, right?
That is the concept.
Okay, well, let's move on.
We have a permit renewal request, Images at the Cross. You remember Mr. Dean Brown was in and everything like that. He has had one renewal, if I'm not mistaken, and is now another renewal.
Okay.
Of course, they've been in the newspaper here lately several times and everything, and I think are planning on trying to break ground maybe in March, but he can catch you up on that with whatever questions you've got. But he is here. He is within his time frame, and we, of course, with nothing done out there, have no qualms, you know, as far as being out of compliance or anything like that, and it requires that it come before you to request that. So.
Okay.
The only qualm I had was that a member of this board was to be a representative for the renewal, and I didn't think that was right.
I actually agree with you on that. He's not.
He's not doing it tonight.
But,
so
okay.
But I'm just saying for future
meetings, I would hope.
Right.
My own personal opinion is I don't think he should be representing, sitting on this board representing
that. And I'm fine with that. And personally, so y'all take that back.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I don't know. There may be others that are perfectly okay with that.
You're right.
Okay.
I completely understand and I agree with that. He actually, we have two boards. We have a managing board, which is a small group of people at this point that's likely to understand. And then we have an unofficial advisory board, which is more in the nature of spiritual and local people.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is on the latter.
Okay.
So from the standpoint of decision-making process, he provides input, but doesn't have any decision-making authority, if that makes any difference. As far as you're concerned, we don't want to, you know, provide a conflict in any way.
Right.
So we're aware of that.
We're just here for a permit renewal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. This is Mr. Brown's son.
Yeah, go ahead and state your name for the record.
Yeah, I'm Kerry Brown. Okay. I'm currently the executive director for Images of the Cross. So from the standpoint of actually being the administrative person involved with building it, lining up things, making decisions on, you know, the actual on-the-ground day-to-day things, I'm probably going to be the face that you're going to be seeing, as we go through the different phases of constructing this and getting, you know, permit approval and things of that. So,
are you pretty optimistic? You know,
I'm incredibly optimistic.
That's great.
I'm so optimistic. Our short-term goal, I'll share with you, is that we plan to do a ceremonial groundbreaking on Good Friday, April 2nd. Between that now and then, I have two goals. The first one is to raise a figure of money. In perfect honesty, we've come this far. We have zero money in our coffers at this point, so the next 2.5 months is going to be some pretty severe prayer on our behalf, and also some pretty severe fundraising. The second half of that is going to be preparing the land for the groundbreaking as much as we possibly can, and that is also going to involve the local community getting involved. Hopefully, we've been lining up volunteers to help, and again, that's an area that Mark has had a special interest in, and he has asked to help us with that. In addition to that, preparing the land from the standpoint of, for instance, getting an electrical easement, getting access to the land to have construction equipment go up upon it and at least level off a place where we could have the groundbreaking ceremony. And in general, doing things that are going to improve the value of the land and improve access to it. So those are my short-term goals. At the end of that time, I fully expect to have funds available to do the next phase, which is going to be getting the architects and engineers involved with the actual design and telling us, okay, how do we go about doing that?
Is Dean related to you somehow?
He's my father. So,
okay.
All things start with nepotism, unfortunately.
That's great.
Well, your interview process wasn't probably quite as long.
Well, in a way, it kind of was.
many years.
Yeah. There's been a long, serious process, and in many ways, having my father as the person that eventually I report to, in addition to the rest of the foundation board or in the rest of the images board. You know, that is something that it's been a unique experience. You know, you have you know, a man who's your father, and then he's also your boss. So that creates an interesting relationship to work with.
I remember when this came through. I think it's a great project. I've traveled the world. I've lived all over the world. There's a big cross somewhere in, I think it's in Texas off of the 40 or...
Mm-hmm. There's also the one in Effingham.
Right,
the cross
and they really do draw a lot of people. And I think during the last concept, I said, if not here, then where? You know, if mm-hmm. not in, and so I'm really for it. I'd like you to know that it's really important that you, regardless of what your time frame is, that you continue to renew your permit. And I think you can do it 3 or 4
times. This will be a second one. He'll have one more after this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And by not doing that or failing to do that, it creates a lot of... You'd have to go through the whole process again, and then the height would need to be reviewed again, and just
absolutely
stay on track and good luck.
And in fact, I will go ahead and leave my current business card with Eddie and the people here, and just kind of if there is something that comes up, or if you see something that I am not doing or that I need to do, please be proactive and let me know.
On that note, yeah. When you level out any ground, come and see me.
Absolutely.
Because you need a permit.
Absolutely. So, but again, at least through the ceremonial groundbreaking, we're not looking at putting any.
Yeah, as long as you don't get up with a bulldozer and smooth everything out. If you're gonna do that, then we're gonna have to have a permit.
So, okay, in order to have bulldozers come on and smooth something out.
Yes, if you do more than an acre.
Okay.
If you do less than an acre, you're okay.
Including the roads up to it and everything. Right. That's total acre.
Any total land acre. Disturbance up to it. So, you know, you can contact us and we'll go through the details on that with you. And
fantastic.
We do need a motion, if I remember right.
You need a
right
motion
now.
To okay. approve or not, whichever.
Make a motion to?
To extend.
Okay.
We have a motion. Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
We'll get that in the mail. I think we have all the other paperwork we need and everything. And then we'll just contact us and we'll talk to you about land disturbance and that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nate, what you doing? Is the little gift shop thing north of there go away?
The Fantasy Village is still there right now.
I mean, is that going to be
the ship
gone? Yeah.
Originally, it wasn't going to be.
It'll be there forever.
Mr. Brown, what is the intention of the Fantasy Village? Originally, he wasn't talking about that.
Are you getting lazy for that? Zipline?
Yeah, we're digging a hole for it. I'm digging some right now, 14, trying to dig a 14-foot deep for 120-foot pole. Eight holes on 20-foot.
I haven't seen a plat split any property yet. I don't know. If you have, well, call me. We'll go over it.
They can see it for a long place.
They just asked, and I told them I didn't think originally that it was going to go anywhere.
I haven't seen that.
Yes, sir. I've got free rigor.
I do. It's your lucky day.
Yeah. It's by the water tower, yes.
Okay, gentlemen, I have under old and new business. We had a request about our bylaws and how they can be changed and everything. So I read through them this afternoon with Benita, and we're in agreement that they need a lot of changes. But the good news is this. Our meetings are supposed to start at 7:30, according to these.
Is that right?
So I am asking to move them back an hour.
We changed our bylaws.
Benita.
They were never voted on.
Okay.
It says, at any meeting of the Planning Commission, when there is a quorum, these bylaws may be amended by a 2/3 vote of the membership.
We've got a small quorum tonight. Let's make a chance.
So that's basically how these...
You guys going to meet about 4:30? Yeah.
So anyway, but again, if you have a copy of these, you need to read them, because the first thing it says out of the bat, it says, whereas with the third class status in excess of 20,000 residents.
Yeah, that's probably not a good way to start.
You know, and we are a first class county. It talks about one of the county judges is supposed to sit on our board. And so there's just a lot of things. And I'm sure that, like Benita says, there was meetings where everybody voted to change this stuff, and this board began to act like that had been done, but evidently it didn't.
And this is our most current
this
copy?
This is the most current one that we can find that we were looking. Now, I will check again with the clerk.
I need to see. And find the ones that we changed.
Because it seems like we've changed some stuff since
I was supposed to be having a study meeting on the fourth Thursday of every month. So, yeah, there's some changes.
We're going to have to ask for raises.
We're
going to
have
to make
money, Chuck.
So, and I'm sure that the commission would just assume that we don't add another meeting that we have to pay for. So anyway, yes, these do need to be amended. It should be a high priority for us in February.
Okay, so you will give us some suggestions.
I definitely will do my best, but I will check one more time.
Including time change for meetings to 6:30?
Yes, sir. That's where you'd like to go.
I asked about that last time.
I know you
did. I don't think I want that to change.
So anyway,
I'm just inching it towards 6.
That is that. And with that being said, that is all that I have. So
Aegis is not looking at that document at all, right there?
This no, sir. This is the Biden. No, they are not touching this at all. And as a matter of fact, I did talk just quickly with Aegis today. I try to keep my time down because I feel like every time we're on the phone, they're probably charging us and everything. But
probably. I'm sure they are.
It is our intention to have some kind of a document that y'all can begin to tear apart or build up or whatever you would like to do.
In February. For the first meeting in February?
Boy, I'd like. It's going to be tough, guys, but we're going to try. We're still finishing up year-end reports and stuff like that for your February stuff. And right now, all that we're looking at doing is amending these bylaws in February and dealing with the zoning districts that we'd like to set up so that we can feel like the county's in compliance with what the commissioners have requested. If there's areas that you see that we're having trouble in or that it's coming up constantly that we need to address on a more specific nature, you need to let our office know so that we can do a little bit of research into those kind of things and that we can have it on the agenda. The first meeting that we have is open to the public. They can come in and put their comments in on our code book and some different things that are going on like that, which is something you may choose to do some more research in or to make some changes.
Has that been publicized in any way, shape, or form?
It will be. As we normally do our meetings and everything, we can put a notice in the newspaper if we need to do that. We normally would post that as we do any other regular meeting and everything, but it probably wouldn't hurt for us to have a small notice in the newspaper that this is the yearly meeting that we do this. I believe last year we publicized that in the newspaper, if I'm not mistaken, and had a few people show up.
Can you send out an email to us to remind the commission to bring their ideas for that so that's not forgotten?
I need to get a piece of paper.
I have one, and it's correct now.
Awesome. Please write down your personal email again.
I can't help you there, Randall.
Well,
I have your card with your business on it, but your personal with Bubba, along with Eddie's list of commissioners.
What?
Yeah, last week.
Oh. Did you, Sean, have you made contact with the commission about your appointment and all that stuff? You're willing to stay on or anything?
I talked to him last week.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe you did that. I'm sorry.
Unless he forgot?
No, I don't think they have.
Do you look at this email?
Okay, gentlemen, that's all I have for you. So if y'all have any questions, please.
Fractional ownership.
I even wrote your phone number to call her. She can make sure.
Look, it's on the back there. You see it?
The duplexes.
Are you
yes.
Right off?
she, In the reworking of this with these zones and everything, duplexes is an area that we would look at for the possibility of you know, where they can be built and how they can be owned and stuff like that. Fractional ownership is something it comes in so many different shapes and sizes and everything like that. We probably need to settle on something that we're comfortable with, or maybe make a decision that we only allow this in a PUD, you know, or something like that.
It's only going to get wilder and crazier.
It is. Okay. As long as you live in a resort area with this many lakes, it's going
to
get.
Well, we need to define it somehow.
And you know, I couldn't make the line.
So we'll take a stab at that.
You know, like this one.
Okay.
In this document, we're going to give you and go from there.
Okay.
So
is that it?
That's all I have.
Take a motion to adjourn. All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
It's not fair to him for him to own his property and the rest of these people fractional around him, and people coming in and renting it one night, two nights at a time.
Let me tell you what this says.
It's not fair to that guy that's got a home.
Any member having a...